The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, and thank you so much for joining us for your ROH and Impact post-show here at Fightful. A much shorter episode this week, thankfully. And we've got Reg back with us. But before we catch up with Reg and his big Vegas weekend and all of his shenanigans that happened, we are going to ask you guys to get in those super chats and those humper chats to talk anything ROH tonight. I thought it was a strong episode. Definitely one of my favorites of the non-studio ones. This was a much, much, much stronger showing. Chat about it with us. Send in those chats. Also, we'll ask you to go over to FightfulSelect.com and subscribe there. Lord knows we had a very dense wrestling weekend. Okay, we had three pay-per-views in 2 days. Mm-hmm. We were running shows all over the place. Reg was in Vegas. He couldn't be bothered to show it. He saw 19 matches and was like, I'm out of here. I ain't doing a 19-match post-show when I'm in Vegas, all right, with my internet that is hotel internet. That was not happening. Will said, find a sub, Kate. I'm going to go I'm gonna go play some penny slots. I'm going to hit it big on blackjack. Couldn't be bothered. But how was Vegas?
You know, the funny thing, funny that you say that, Kate, because I actually went to the AEW and Ring of Honor tapings, and it ended up being like a 6-hour show. So I ended up being at a long wrestling show anyway, so it didn't matter. They were like, hi, you thought you got away from 19 matches? Gotcha. And they made me watch a whole bunch of wrestling. I watched a bunch of Ring of Honor. They did exactly what we've been talking about on this shows for months on end. Filmed during, after a whole bunch of wrestling, and some people, not enough people, saw an amazing 6-man lucha inspired match. So, it's a lot.
Nice little combo of things that Reg loves tonight and things that I love tonight. And it's not that I don't love what Reg loves, but my shit was on tonight. We're going to talk all about that shortly. But let's talk about what you said. They aren't at the studio anymore. You've got this crowd that's probably a little fatigued, right? Not really hyped. If you send Maria Kanellis out there in that outfit, though, they're going up. All right. My God. Breathtaking, breathtaking gal. We start with the infantry and the kingdom. And I got to say, I love me some Lucha Brothers, all right? But to me, it has felt like the Kingdom are your tag champions, the way they've been carrying the brand and the workload in this division. But a fun opener here nonetheless. I really liked commentary talking about whether they would be in their heads a little bit about or just fatigued from the Honor No, not the Honor No More match, Fight Without Honor match that they had had last week. But this was really fun. You know who wasn't fatigued by that match? Maria Kanellis. And we saw her interfere at the end. And what was a really fun opener. Love seeing the infantry. Great as always. This was just a nice way to kick off the show. Not usually those like insane tag matches that we sometimes get on AEW to kick off shows. We're like, how did this even happen on free TV? But a really, really solid one and advancing some story here. Love seeing Maria get involved. She's always very good about her interference, and because it's not overdone in ROH a lot, I really liked it here. What did you think of our opener tonight?
Exactly what you were saying. I think there's a tag match later in this show that could have been in that crazy kind of tag match spot, the top flight and action versus the Workhorsemen. I think they did some crazy stuff. We'll talk about that eventually here. But yeah, I think exactly what you said about the Lucha Bros being tag team champs. I think it's great. They're one of my favorite tag teams in the world. But if the run that the Kingdom has been having since the Supercard of Honor show Mania weekend, if they were tag team champions that whole time, I think it would hit a lot harder of them carrying the flag, them talking how they've been talking, them having the matches that they've been having. If they were tag team champions this whole time, we would have been building prestige to these tag team champions. Instead, they keep putting the tag team champions in singles matches every time we have a show. I don't get it. We'll never understand it, but you know, we are where we are, and we're going to eventually get to having these tag team champions on the show, I hope. Hopefully they built to some this weekend at the tapings, because it's been pretty weird not having them on the show when that's a prominent figure of Ring of Honor history. Is like the tag team championships are like so synonymous with the company and everything that we've been to get here, to not have them present as they have been has been kind of a bummer.
Yes. And the presentation was such a big deal because of obviously who held them last, and to pass it along to a team of brothers was such a great moment. And then I understand injuries happen, but we saw these defended in AEW. We're getting more title defenses on Rampage. We saw 19 matches and no title defenses while you were off gallivanting, okay? Cashing in big on roulette or whatever the hell you were doing in Vegas while I was holding it down. But no complaints about this opener. I agree with you. I'm trying to reframe it in my head as let's see what Collision brings and who they pull on, and then we'll see what shakes out in ROH. Not mad about it. Not mad about it. And I'll tell you what else I'm not mad about. Trisha Dora reemerging here in ROH. Commentary, always. No Nigel tonight, but Caprice and Ian doing a great job talking about something that I found out through one of your tweets, that Trisha Dora is training out of the New Japan Dojo, and damn, that rules. I think that is such awesome news. It probably derails her booking a little bit here. I think normally this would be a case where you're building up Trisha Dora. Her and Athena seems like such a likely combo, but if she's putting in the work in the New Japan Dojo, you're probably going to have Sky Blue edging out this match, which she does here. But really, really fun, a gorgeous wheelbarrow suplex in this from Trisha Dora. Fun stuff. I'm kind of with you where I'm not like quite there on Sky Blue, but her match with Athena was the best that we've seen her. She's continuing to be built here. I think her sticking around ROH is a good call. Normally, I'd be complaining about her going over Trisha Dora, but knowing what Trisha Dora is doing to give her what she's giving to herself and all of this is really, really cool. What did you think of our second match of the show here?
Yeah, this match was super fun. I think Sky Blue, ever since that Athena match, has been locked into where she should be after having such a great match like that. She's kind of taken on a little more edge. It's been great to see. Trisha Dora's story has been great. Yeah, as you said, that tweet I put out, I had just discovered that day because I saw her just really being down there at the in the ring during the New Japan Strong show. So
bumping shoulders. I get it.
Yeah. But Trisha's awesome though. I've been singing her praises for so many years. So to see her they told the story here with the commentary saying that she joined the Academy and she's like, you know, put herself at the bottom again, not even like using being Trisha Dora, been, you know, around the world already. No, she's like at the very bottom, starting from the bottom to build up to become this, you know, to become even greater than she was, saying that she didn't use entrance music and her, you know, Carrytron for a reason, because she wanted to be, you know, she wanted to earn every step from the very bottom, which is a great story to tell. And, you know, using Sky Blue here to, you know, further along what she's doing. And they had a great match. I like the finish. I like the story that they told all through this. And, you know, Sky Blue is going to continue to be a contender, which is going to be great for the division. But, you know, the story that they tell here with the rest of the women's division in the show is the more interesting thing, I think. But yeah, super fun match. Both women look great here.
So I got to say, I feel qualified to speak about women's wrestling. And we have seen ROH go from a brand that wasn't really emphasizing women's wrestling to now mm-hmm. like the workers women's wrestling yeah. brand. Right. And I love seeing that. What I don't feel qualified to speak about, which I will throw to you, and I will definitely be asking Cresta on as we switch over to the Impact stream, is mm-hmm. we had Kira Hogan, we had Athena, yep. we had Trisha Dora, we've mm-hmm. got Trinity on Impact. There are some, yep. we got Willow most weeks, you know, like mm-hmm. there's some incredible Black women's wrestlers in the scene right now. Mm-hmm. And so different stylistically. Yeah. I just can't remember a time where I've seen this much like organic representation unfolding. Like I mm-hmm. don't want to be crapping on other brands, but right now in WWE, it's like Bianca and nobody yeah. else.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Is it awesome for you to see this? Like I think it is just incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, coming from, you know, when I originally started making the BW 500 and just trying to discover more wrestlers, women's wrestlers at the beginning, it was hard to find. It's hard to go through and see, but like, because of the things that Sasha did, because of the things Sasha Mercedes, because of the things that Naomi did, because of the things that you know, all their partners did, Becky and Bailey and all them, they brought along a new, different crop of women that are amazing. And a lot of them are Black women inspired by the things that Mercedes did on the way up. And to see where it is now with everyone you named, and Queen Aminata and
Promise Braxton
yeah, on this show. Yeah. Tremendous talent. Shout out to Reality of Wrestling in Texas. Texas as a whole, just an incredible wrestling place to be. Yeah, the Black women wrestlers here are insane. And they all, like you said, have different styles. They all bring a different kind of style and flavor and swag to this. And it's great to see. And they're all tremendously talented. Like, you could pick any one of them to be like, oh, this is the best. Like, Mercedes, she's great. Willow, Trinity. It's like, it's a who's who of amazingly talented women. And they're all champions and they're everywhere. And it's like, I never thought we would get here, but I'm so happy that we made it.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. And to your point about Mercedes, it's like she's still doing it. Like,
yeah,
she shattered all these glass ceilings in WWE and was like, I'm going to go to Japan and hold a women's title there.
Essentially, they created a belt for her, and she's yeah. just like, yeah, I'm going to carry this and inspire more women on the way and interact with all those women that I inspired on the way yeah. up. It's like, come on.
In main event, New Japan Strong with another Black woman. No big deal. No big deal. Just no awesome deal. To see. I just want to take a pause with that, because when I first got into ROH, and it sounds like a similar experience for you, like it was like Allison Danger and not really
Daisy Hayes. Yeah, I remember. Yeah. It was like very rare. You'd be like, oh, here's a random women's match. That's cool.
Cool. But it's just so cool to see it being like the women's ass kicking brand too. It's mm-hmm. it's not just like, oh, and we have women. It is the workers brand, and Ian Caprice put it over pretty heavily in the main here, but yep. really, really great stuff. And moving into what was a heartstring puller for me, Reg. I don't know about you, but the Righteous
tough.
Stu Grayson versus the Dark Order. I've been whining, okay? I've been whining about the lack of story. When I did 19 matches to review when there were not really any stories, I was a little ornery about that, mm-hmm. right? This story has been beautifully told. Wow. It is breaking my heart. Okay. Yeah. I love me some Stu Grayson. I've said since before he even re-signed, I was like, he's an ROH singles champion in the waiting. Just stylistically felt right. Yeah. I did not see this story coming with the Righteous, but I absolutely adore what they built out here. You get this moment of Uno not wanting to fight Stu, and it is so... oh, authentic and oh, so good. We get a lot of other fun stuff in here. Dutch hitting this ridiculous boss man slam on Reynolds, who hit hard on the outside. But ultimately, this ends with Stu Grayson hitting Uno with the Nightfall. Oh my God. And then Vincent going in and getting the pin, which I think is such an interesting open ending. And I loved the way Ian Riccaboni was like, did Vincent know? Is he a master manipulator? Is Stu Grayson going to be pissed off about this next week because he's still not having a moment to shine? Stu Grayson walk away from everybody. I think there's a lot of options here. I loved a lot of the storytelling in this. Vincent, just with like a casual side rush and leg sweep, always cracks me up. Cause like, I don't think about move execution with that guy, but he's a good little wrestler, he's man. Good. He knows what he's doing in there. Mm-hmm. I think this is a whole bunch of fun. I think it's a really healthy call. And I'm thinking that if this is going into a trio split, you might have a nice 6-man champion contender on the way here. Reg, your thoughts?
Kate, what happened here? Everything started moving so quickly. I don't know what's happened. Stu's back. He's beating up John Moxley. Dark Order. They're all reuniting. But then he's over here saying he's not getting enough shine. I agree with them. The Righteous are making some good points. And now he's over here with the Righteous. And he's fighting against his longtime partner. They're punching and kicking each other, Kate, right in the middle of the ring. What's going on here? Super Smash Bros. I can't believe this. It's just a sad story, but a great story here is being told. The Dark Order keep lucking into this. Look, they just told this story on Dynamite about, you know, they're going to start to tell this Hangman story, is looking like they're telling the story over here in Ring of Honor. Like, they're having a good time. Shout out to all those guys. They're great, incredible talent. And then this match, Boss Man Slam, Dutch is going to have, I think he has the best in the business. Like, somebody prove me wrong. Jake Somethings is pretty wild.
Yeah, that's the only one I think that I'm like could rival it.
Mm-hmm. These guys, they be throwing those Boss Man Slams pretty heavy over here. So you guys should fight about it and see who has the best one. I think that's the only way that you could solve this Dutch and Jake Something in a fight, because that'd be a great fight too. But yeah, this is one of the best stories being told here in Ring of Honor. Slowly it came up. I mean, ever since the Righteous came in, they came in with the purpose of like, Stu, they're not treating you right over here, and we will treat you right over here. And they're kind of showing it, Kate, right?
They really are. My only thing is, Dutch, you're doing your job, but it's creeping me out with your tongue. All right,
the tongue thing, I can't. The tongue thing is freaking me out every time. It's weird. Every time he does it, I'm just like, ooh.
It just gives you the shimmies. Try being a girl and see it. It's
I could imagine. All right, man. Yeah. It's weird.
It's a weird one. But what I like, to your point, was we saw the Dark Order on AEW. Mm-hmm. They've lost Hangman, right? Yep. I'm not for all this roster sharing, as I've been very vocal about. But the idea that, like, we lost Hangman, we're losing Stu, this leads to some consistent possibilities for the Dark Order. So I really like that. If they turn heel because they're like, everyone screws us over anyway. Mm-hmm. Interesting stuff. If they stay face because they have to turn inward as a trio, there's a lot of trios wrestling happening right now. Could be a whole lot of fun.
Or new Dark Order members too. That's also something looming in the back. Like, they've lost a lot over this, their whole entire time in AEW. They've lost members, you know, left and right here very recently. So are they going to try to recruit? Are they going to go on as a trios? They might just want to stay at trios because, like, your other two homies that you got are down, and that's it. Everybody else is a wild card.
It's true. And what I like about that is you had the two tag teams, right? And it felt like, of anybody, Evil Uno was kind of left out in the wind. Felt like the whole Dark Order was, but he just never really recovered from losing his tag team. So him having other people to just endemically work with, I think is a really, really good call. But absolutely love the story here. This was a ton of fun. I'm going to save this Samoa Joe Zack Sabre Jr. interview for their match, because I was howling at what we got out of this. We're going to move along to some more ass-kicking ladies wrestling. We mentioned Promise Braxton, the challenger, but a great effort in her Proving Ground match with Athena last week, too. Not a successful effort, but a really, really good one. I love the mouth guard and her style that she comes out with. A great match for Diamante here stylistically. Yep. That theme goes so hard.
Yes.
Love seeing Diamante on a track. Very, very excited. This was a really fun match. I loved it. Diamante going over here was not a surprise to me, but some really, really good work and a good use of establishing your women's division a little bit more as we go. Yeah. Like, it seems like Diamante is going to be emphasized here. That's all I've ever wanted, especially with Dark going away, because that's where her bread was getting buttered. So she deserves to keep that back. She deserves to do it in ROH, and she deserves this consistency. She's clearly worked very hard. Stylistically, it's a no-brainer in this environment now, but also happy to see Promise Braxton return. I thought she was great last week. I'm not as familiar with her, so I love finding new talent that I can dive deeper into and go look up matches. Very, very, very cool stuff. What were your thoughts on this?
This is cool. Like you were saying, like we were saying earlier about this women's division, how it's kind of like, it's the, if you're going to be in the women's division, you're about to be in a fight. Like somebody across the ring from you can really fight. And this isn't like, we're not about to be dancing in here. You could be in here with Athena. You could be in here with Diamante. You could be in here with Mercedes Martinez. You could be in here with Kira Hogan. Like, it's like, who's ever on the other side of this, they're not coming to play. And that's great that this Ring of Honor division has became into that, because if in order to beat the MVP Ring of Honor women's champion, you have to be somebody that's can go, because Athena's not about to play when you're on the other side of that. So to see these two women, Promise Braxton, coming up like this, like I said, through Reality of Wrestling, Booker T, she has that kind of connection to Athena too, which is, you know, a little story they could be telling here very soon. And then, so for her, I saw her actually at the Queen of Indies here at the West Coast Pro Show. She's amazing. She's great, even live. So it's great to see her to be able to get this opportunity, Sarah, against Diamante. But we've been talking about Diamante for, you know, some time now on this podcast. And she is getting these opportunities, and it's great to see, because she's kind of one that's been deserving for a really long time, just on the grind, like you said, doing AEW Dark and, have, you know, doing these things to kind of stay relevant, but not getting the on TV opportunity. So for to transition over here in ROH, another contender for Athena, it's just great to see. These women's matches on this show are always hit. It's pretty rarely that there's not one that, you know, besides like the squashes, like they're always like some big time dope matches here.
Yes. And I always get concerned when we're out of the studio, but I got to say, this felt so much more like an ROH episode. There was so much that I loved about it. And it didn't feel like, hey, let's throw the best friends out there because they're next to me in Gorilla. Like this.
It hasn't felt like that, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And refreshingly to see, Rampage is going to be incredible tomorrow. So it feels like, all right, maybe now that we've cleared past Double or Nothing, we're kind of cementing what the products under the AEW umbrella are. And we know who you can thank for that. Mm-hmm. The hardworking staff at AEW.
Nice pivot, Kate.
Thank you. So guys, get your super chats and your Humber chats about Will Washington or anything else you want to talk about. But most importantly... Don't do that. Talk to us about the show tonight, though. We would appreciate the support. And a reminder that we have the Impact stream coming up with birthday boy Joel Pearl.
Mm-hmm.
But don't spend your dollars on him. Happy birthday. Yeah. You can just leave it on the regular chat. Spend your dollars on us, all right? Mm-hmm. We want those quarterly ratings to show that we're the draw, all right? Exactly. Last week, because we had a three-hour episode, I was bumping Joel to overbooked, okay? Prove me right about that.
Like bumped, wow,
bumped. Yeah, I'm
counter programming. Look at this, it's crazy.
Well, we had to, you know what I mean? Yeah. Our reviews were going on the same damn
thanks
time.
A lot, Tony.
So I bumped Joel, and then you know what happened the next night? I bumped Joel again because they had Impact to review again. I'm the draw, prove it by sending in those super chats and Humper chats. We've got Reg back, please send them in and leave a thumbs up on this video if you could. But stay tuned for that Impact post show, they're also coming off a big weekend and more Trinity in action. But we get Brian Cage and Willie Mack in a fun match. Extremely familiar with each other. I absolutely adored commentary doing this. Talking about how they fought each other all around the world. Mm-hmm. I love when Willie Mack and Brian Cage, especially the way Brian Cage is working right now, collide, because they are very different in about every way, except for the way that they make really, really fun matches when they are in the ring together.
Totally.
The Lucha Underground references, talking about everywhere that they've worked, was really, really fun. Super familiar with each other. This is the most interesting Brian Cage has been. I've said it week over week. I really, really like it. I still want my six-man belts. All right. But good stuff here. I also adore Willie Mack. Just a really good pickup for them if they're planning on contracting him or just using him consistently. He's such a consistent worker and a lot of fun. A lot of fun. Nice to see him back in singles action after some Ninja Mack tag team stuff. But what did you think of Brian Cage and his win today?
Why did we build to that Ninja Mac and the Mac? I thought we were doing the Mac attack thing. I like the back double Mac attack thing, but we're just leaving it. Okay, it's fine. We could just leave it. I get it. We're doing the Brian Cage match again.
Our champions aren't even around. Yeah, you know
they're not
I mean?
Here anyways. It doesn't matter. They're doing Brian Cage and Willie Mack again. Interesting choices. Like, I think there's some other ways you could go. This is like the fourth time we've seen this match. I watched one of these matches live of them doing it. It's great. I love it. Love Lucha Underground. Love PWG. Everybody knows my history here. But, like, what's going on here? Why don't we defend these trios championships on this show? Why are you guys doing this to us? We know all three of them are there, or are they? I don't know. I don't really know. But why aren't we just adding a little bit more stakes to this? It doesn't really seem that hard. I just want to even know that they're present, that they're a team together, that we could see the three of them and the three of those belts together. Same with the tag team champs. Can we see them standing next to each other so I know that they exist in this universe? And these tag team championships aren't just going to a waste. But I digress. Fun match. We've seen this match in PWG. We've seen this match in Lucha Underground. We've seen it in AEW. We've seen it in Ring of Honor. It's kind of great that they're just running this match through so many different places. It's California representation. I can't really complain too much. Willie Mack is awesome when he does this Samoan drop into the nip up into the moonsault. It hits every time. He's just a great character, and I'd hope to one day see him as a champion here in Ring of Honor. That just would be a cool moment.
Hell yes to that. I do agree with you. I feel like I have not in my life really gone out of my way to see Brian Cage and Willie Mack, and I've seen it still 47 times.
So many times.
You're not wrong on that front, but I did love the cannonball in here from Willie Mack. I also loved Prince Nana getting worried on the clothesline spot stunner. Was really, really, really fun. Yeah. They do switch it up every time that they're in the ring, but I definitely hear you, and it does feel like we get pieces of the six man everywhere we go, just not the actual trio itself. We got Khan and Toa on the main roster. We got Brian Cage down here. They're flip-flop all the time. So I agree with you. I think the match was fun, but you're not wrong in that we've seen it a time or two and kind of superfluous. But
yeah,
fun nonetheless.
Things could be worse. We could be watching a worse match.
Any chance we can get ABC on ROH tag division, asks Matthew Hooks.
ABC question mark?
Yeah, I don't know ABC.
Another bad creation. That's the only ABC I know, and they're an old rap child's group from the 90s. I don't think that's who you're talking about. You could be, though.
They haven't been in tag team action in a while.
Yeah, it's been a long time, probably like 30 years at this point, but you know, maybe get them back together.
Who knows? Yeah, I don't know who you're clarifying for. Matthew Hooks, you can clarify and not send it.
Oh, Ace and Bay. Yeah.
Oh, definitely. My gosh. Duh. Yeah. Good call. It's a very open landscape right now. I would say anything's possible, but it does feel like they are a bit of a fixture in Impact right now. So I don't know how much they're going to want to shoot.
I mean, it's going to be interesting to see if Impact's involved any in Forbidden Door, I guess. So
I think it's going to be, I'm really intrigued by what we get at Forbidden Door, because there's been some stories, and we're going to talk about Zack Sabre Jr., mate, and Samoan Joseph in a moment, but there's been a lot of stories that feel like they could be leaning toward Forbidden Door that are not necessarily just AEW specific, including Zack Sheppy Jr. and Joe of the Samoas. This promo cracked me up. I love Joe just casually throwing in that he's better than Zack Sabre Jr. What you missed last week was magic. I will tell you that the main event of last week was so great because there wasn't a ton of story going into it. It was just that Matt Sydal had a shot at the TV titles, and Samoa Joe and Zack Sabre Jr. weren't going to just let you call your shot. They're proud champions. It's the TV title, man. You can't just come in and get a shot because you feel like it. We build out to this tag match. The whole time, it's just Zack Sabre Jr. and Samoa Joe messing with each other a little bit. So they're on the same page about wanting to win the match, but Samoa Joe's super aggressively tagging in. And
right.
There's some one-upman spots and anything you can do, I can do better storytelling. It was really, really fun in this, eventually leading to what we got tonight. But I just loved Samoa Joe in this interview, just being like, I think it's clear that I'm better than you. Mm-hmm. And Zack Sabre Jr. saying that's a little bit hazy was a whole heck of a lot of fun, as was the match that we got with Zack Sabre Jr. and Rocky Romero. Two banger themes, by the way, right off the top.
Back
completely
to back.
Different vibes. Mm-hmm. Really, really good stuff. But I don't know what is up with me. I'm on the most technical kick that I have been on mm-hmm. as a wrestling fan in my life. But I have a lot of really great things to say about this match. Okay.
Yep.
Zack Sabre Jr. catching people into a cravat never gets old to me, especially on the outside.
Beautiful.
What the effing F. Mm-hmm. Same with that like standing twisted neck breaker. It's just so nasty looking. Mm-hmm. It looks like you're actually breaking people's necks. So much fun to be had in here. The Hurricane Rana into the ankle lock, a thing of beauty. Rocky Romero's top rope DVT, a thing of beauty. Zack Sabre Jr. using what felt like a variation of the Coquina Clutch. I don't remember the full name of it. Mm-hmm. Calling out Samoa Joe with his in-ring storytelling.
Yeah.
Phenomenal. Rocky mm-hmm. Romero targeting the neck of Zack Sabre Jr. that Christopher Daniels was working over in the last match the whole time. Amazing. In-ring storytelling is the best part of wrestling.
Wow.
Wrestling is the best part of wrestling. This mm-hmm. was for me. I mm-hmm. loved it. Eventually, this ends with Rocky going for the armbar. Zack mm-hmm. Sabre Jr. escaping with the calf crusher. They get into a hold, and Zack Sabre Jr. stretches Rocky, who taps out here. But this TV title run has been a work of art from Zack Sabre Jr. I have loved every minute of it. I've watched the whole thing in succession over the weekend because I'm just so blown away by what he's been able to do in establishing this title as the first champion. Match was super fun. We'll see what happens at Dominion this weekend. But what were your thoughts on this Tekker match for me?
Kate, did you think when they moved this show to Honor Club that it was going to become the Zack Sabre Jr. show? Did you think we were going to be able to be blessed with this Zack Sabre Jr. greatness every Thursday from 4 to 6?
I did not. And I don't know what I did in a past lifetime to earn this.
I don't know how we got here, but thank you to whoever did this.
I've always loved Zack Sabre Jr., but this is some of the most inspired wrestling work I've just ever seen. Like, he has transitioned from being the best technical wrestler in the world to, in my opinion, just the best wrestler in the world. Because when you're that good technically, the story just organically falls into itself. Even in matches like this, where there's not a full story.
Yeah.
You just kind of create one. Man, I'm excited, Reg.
No, it feels like, to me, every time he has a Ring of Honor match, it's for Bryan Danielson. Like, he only thinks one person is watching this match, and every time he twists somebody in a pretzel, every time he grabs somebody out of a cravat, out of a dive, every time he snatches an arm out of nowhere, every time he steps on something, your ankle, in a weird direction, he's like, Bryan Danielson, this is for you. Everybody says that you're the guy. Everybody says that you're the best technical wrestler in the world, but that's false. I'm the best technical wrestler in the world. He's been saying it for years now, but a year ago in the build to Forbidden Door, he called out Bryan Danielson, said that he wasn't that guy and that he was that guy. And Zack Sabre's been showing us on the brand that Bryan Danielson built on his home turf, that no, you're not that guy. I'm that guy. And to do it right here against Rocky. Rocky Romero has been a great little treat these last couple of weeks too, just coming in here doing the thing that he does. He has so many different styles. It's great to see Rocky Romero do his thing. But Zack Sabre Jr., with this championship, with the time limit, with the run that he's on, I don't know if anybody's going to be able to take that championship from him. It's been incredible to be able to see who people legit call the best wrestler in the world, just like a regular Thursday. And I think that's kind of the best part. Like how you said, like it feels like he's in another level, but he feels even more like dickheadish in that he doesn't, it doesn't feel like it's anything to him. He's just like, yeah, whatever. I'll tie you up. I don't care. I'm the best guy here. I'll beat you. I'll tie you and your friend up and I'll kick Bryan Danielson's ass. And that's where it's all leading to. It's just like, this is great.
It is so effortless. Like it is, he's just so, he's so in every moment. Cause I've said it before, right? I think the Samoa Joe walkaway spot is the best spot in wrestling. Mm-hmm. You want to talk about exertion to punishment ratio? That guy sidesteps to the left two steps, and he lets a high flyer eat it. Mm-hmm. A close second and third are someone's on the top rope, and you go to the top rope, and you put them in a top rope assisted freaking twisted cobra twist, whatever. Mm-hmm. Or you're like, I'm going to let him jump into a cravat. Yep. I love it. It all makes sense. And I love your spot, Foo, but of anything in the world, this is for me. I'm here for it. This is good stuff. We got some love in the chats for this match. Thank you so much for sending those in. We'll wish Joel a happy birthday later, but we get a chat from Mike McVaney saying, good show tonight. Can't wait to see Joe and Zack Sabre Jr. go at it, and the women are killing it on ROH. Hell yeah, they are. I'm also incredibly excited for Samoa Joe versus Zack Sabre Jr. I'm intrigued about where it happens because they owe us. They owe us, Reg.
When could it happen? They owe us
Zack Sabre Jr. and Bryan Danielson. Okay, that's the Forbidden Door match. So
Forbidden Door, yeah, I guess that could just be what it is, actually. Right.
They better give me Danielson at Forbidden Door. That's what I'm saying, though. When is Joe going to be at Forbidden Door? Hmm. Or when are we getting Joe and Zack Sabre Jr.? At the ROH pay-per-view?
I would say maybe Forbidden Door, but like, I don't know. There's a lot of shows coming up. There's collisions coming up. There's a lot of time that this could be had. So announce it. I mean, it's going to be interesting. They're building this whole thing on a Ring of Honor show and don't do it on a Ring of Honor show. So,
hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day, and Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything, and you won't believe how simple it is.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago. Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
It does feel like a betrayal to me personally.
Okay. Agreed.
I just feel like Forbidden Door, they owe us Zack Sabre Jr. and Bryan Danielson. But this story,
that's what I'm saying.
Joe is right. So good that I'm like, where mm-hmm. do you do it at the next ROH pay-per-view? Because I guess Death Before Dishonor is not far off, right?
I think they usually do that in July. Yeah, right. So,
okay. So maybe.
But they got so much other stuff going on. Are they going to be able to squeeze in this pay-per-view between Forbidden Door and all these All In and All Out and all this other stuff? I don't know.
Well, I'll say this. I think Samoa Joe might have different plans on Collision, so I'm not worried about it sneaking there. Because somebody else is coming back.
Uh-huh.
And I'm very happy. But we'll move along in the show. This was match of the night for me, obviously. This is a 4K match right here.
That's
right.
Yes.
Luis say maybe we get Zack Sabre Jr. and Joe between the Collision debut and after Sunday's Dominion. Whew, yeah. Enjoy your passport being very full, fellas, because that's a lot of flying back and forth. I am intrigued to see what happens at Dominion because he is fighting Jeff Cobb, who is the only person to have gone the time limit with him. So it feels like there's an opportunity for Zack Sabre Jr. to lose that title, or maybe it's an opportunity for Zack Sabre Jr. to prove he can actually beat Jeff Cobb, or maybe something nefarious happens.
Jeff Cobb beats Zack Sabre Jr. and then we get Jeff Cobb and Samoa Joe instead, I'm not hating it. I'm not hating it at all.
I don't hate that either. I don't even hate that as a triple threat, and I don't even like
a hard triple threat. Yeah, me neither. Let's do it.
But those two big meaty men slapping me and Zack Sabre Jr., you can sign me up for that. I'm not having any complaints. But moving along to the Workhorsemen, who I'm also very excited to see, and Top Flight Adjacent, as I will call them, Action Andretti and Darius Martin, who do pick up the win here. I liked a lot about this match. Andy Henry catching Andretti in that moonsault and the combo that followed after it, I thought was super, super fun. Love commentary playing into, well, you know, if Dante comes back ahead of schedule, how's he going to feel about Andretti just stepping in here? We, by the way, on Rampage, get Zack Sabre Jr. versus Action Andretti. So that is another fun day for us at work. But this match was perfectly fine. I feel like the Workhorsemen fit in ROH, but they're such good utility players. I wouldn't be shocked to see them be a staple on something like Collision or whatever, because I feel like they're very valuable in the way they can work with everyone. They can make things feel important with or without a title. Doesn't rightfully matter. So I'm intrigued to see where they go. What were your thoughts on the match we saw tonight?
Yeah, I think that same thing. I think I love what the Workhorsemen are doing in Ring of Honor, and I think they gel well with pretty much every tag team. But yeah, they're so good at their jobs that they could be every Saturday night trying to rebuild this tag team division or wherever the tag team division kind of lands here in AEW moving forward. They're just so good that you need to see them over there. But yeah, they were on display here in this match. I think a tag team like Top Flight with Action Andretti is a great opponents for the Workhorsemen, just because of the styles that they bring. Anytime you see JD Drake in there with someone that's, you know, trying to evade and get away from him, but then he catches him. And when he does that outside bounce off the ropes, clobbering thing, it's just like, that's just some big, hunky, angry stuff. He's so cool. He's such a different, but kind of old school, but new school. He mixes so many different styles together. Him and Anthony Henry are such a great tag team. I love seeing them in Ring of Honor, but they can be contenders for the tag team championships with a couple wins. They're one of those tag teams that if they went on a win streak right now, they'd be believable and people would be behind them being contenders for the AEW World Championships potentially.
FTR versus the Workhorsemen? Yes.
Right? Right, right, right. Didn't they kind of tease that a couple weeks ago and then we didn't hear about it again?
It did feel like they planted maybe a seed for that. So, and it felt like we're maybe getting Bullet Club Gold against FTR. Yeah. And as an interim program, I also really like that in general. But just take me back to 80s NWA and give you this Workhorsemen versus FTR man match, yes, man. Like, oh, that is, that's some graps right there. I will absolutely take it. The Real Nerd chiming in via Humper Chat. We thank you so much, saying, I was at ROH tapings at MGM Grand and it was a lot of fun. Well, so was someone else. It was a really long 6-hour taping in total with the AEW tapings, but some great matches. Yes. Man. So great matches I've come to expect. In fact, sometimes we get 19 of them. But I was relieved to see some story coming back here with the Righteous in the Dark Order. We get a little bit more fleshed out things in the women's picture, obviously, with Kira Hogan and Athena. There is a story with Zack Sabre Jr. and Samoa Joe. So I was happy that we got some story injected back in here. That made me really happy, as well as some absolute banger matches. One that was not a banger match, but not a bad match, just a real short match, is we got Kip Sabian and Butcher and Blade with Penelope Ford defeating Bryce Saturn, Jacob Austin Young, and Shogun Jones. Not a ton to say about here. Kip taking out one of the guys, I can't remember which, I'm so sorry, with that anarchy suplex. Butcher and Blade dragging, who was it, Angelico? What did we get here? Sorry. Angelico was in the next match. Yeah, my notes are just messed up. It was a quick win.
It was so fast.
a drag the lake on another for a quick win here. It happened really, really quick. But unsurprisingly, I feel like Butcher and Blade are actually a fantastic fit for this tag division. So I don't mind them working here. Still itching for that clarity, but this was a rather convincing win, I would say. Your thoughts?
I'd like to see Butcher and the Blade all the time, so seeing them here is great. And Kip Sabian, too, I think, still hasn't really gotten to show who he actually is. You know, he's done a bunch of character work and he's been involved in some angles, but I think if he went singles here in the Ring of Honor division and got back to what he used to do, because it feels like we haven't seen it in a long time, he could be pretty good here in Ring of Honor. So seeing these guys, I hope they're not just a one-off. I agree, like you said, I think here in this division, Butcher and the Blade could be a great addition. So, you know, the match was too short to even be anything. It was just a squash, even less than a squash, it feels like.
it was a smoosh. It was a...
Definitely was a smoosh.
We are coming down the home stretch, guys. Please get in your Super Chats and Humper Chats. Also, happy Pride Month, you guys.
Yes.
That. It's June 1st. Wrestling is for everyone. Fightful is for everyone. If you're an absolute dickhead, you'll get thrown out of our chat by Luis. You're always gone. Safe to hang out here. We love you for who you are. Happy Pride. That's it. That's all I got to say about that. To say about that. I mouth off on Twitter a lot. But we move along to Angelico. Jack Cartwheel making his debut, I believe, at Serpentico with Luther. I threw Jack Cartwheel out as a name I'd like to see kind of randomly. And I guess I'm just like a very powerful manifester. Because here he is, and I thought he showed out tonight. This was really, really, really fun. I had an absolute blast watching this match. They are up against, of course, the Reg part of the show. Commander. I thought Vikingo and Jack Cartwheel especially had some really, really standout chemistry in this match. The drop kick that took Jack Cartwheel out, I thought was amazing.
Oh my goodness.
Holy hell. Someone get the man an ice pack. He is not cartwheeling back up that ramp, homie.
They accelerated. That looked like a Looney Tunes bit or something, the way that they did Jet Cartwheel with that drop kick.
It was one of those things where the timing was just as precise as the timing could have been.
Right.
I thought this was a whole heck of a lot of fun. I might have started the episode with this, but I mean, starting with Maria Kanellis, like I said, not a bad call, but this was a really, really fun match. I loved it. And I'm not even the spot food advocate for this mm-hmm. brand. You are, Reg. What did you think of this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like someone said in the chat, I was sitting like in the media section or whatever. When you go as media, they kind of sit you guys all in one section.
When you go, guys, listen to what's happening.
I'm not trying to flex like this, Nate.
Let's just put the past week together, all right, with Reg. Let's review, all right? Oh, 19 match card. Oh, I'm busy. I was bumping shoulders with Trish Adora. In the media section. Let me tell you how it is in the media section of ROH. Okay, no, I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
No, I deserved it. I deserved it. So, yeah, by the end of the show, as you guys can see, everybody's like, I'm out of here, dude. I'm not going to stay for 6 more hours. So it's clear down here. I'm like, I see those 3 names pop up. I'm like, oh, it's time to go down there and watch. My favorite luchador is coming on. Commander's here. Bakingo, Bandido, like, yo. And then so, like you were saying, Jack Cartwheel, I see a lot of him. I think he's from Sacramento, like your favorite British talent. Timothy Thatcher, they're Sacramento brothers.
He's from the islands of Sheffield, all right?
Yeah, so I see a lot of him, and it's awesome to see him here, West Coast representing. And he got to get a lot of shine in this match with some of the best luchadors in the world. I saw a tweet yesterday that I thought was interesting. Someone said, it was a video of the Commander dive that he does in every match, walking the ropes into the insane dive. And the tweet said, it's not a special because he always does it. And I thought, that's funny. I think the special thing about it is that he always does it. Like, it's not like a one-time only big WrestleMania spot. It's like, no, he does this insane spot every single match just because he wants to, just because it's fun to him and because it's a cool dive. That makes it more insane to me that he's like, it's not like, I need to practice my cool spot. He's like, no, I'm going to do it in this match tomorrow too. And then on Saturday, I'm going to do it again. And then on Sunday, I'm going to do it again. That's what
I'll do it
cool
in a damn battle royal.
Who cares? Yeah, I'm on AEW. Yeah. How long am I going to be in the match? For 13 seconds. That means I have 13 seconds to do my dive.
Get my shit in.
That's it. That's the man. That's who they is. This was a supreme spot foo, as Righteous Reg would say. These guys were going 100 miles per hour.
I'm sorry. Guy who big-timed us last week and is sitting in the media section now quoting himself in the third person. What have you become?
Look, I'm just going all in with the gimmick. I'm going all in. That's who I am. That's who I am.
All in? What, are you going to be in the media section at Wembley too? Huh? Is that what we're doing?
I wish, man. I'm going to try to. My friend, help me. My friend. At blah, blah, blah. At no, okay. Listen, after such a long taping, like we've said very often in this podcast, these guys brought us back to the show. Like, we're chanting, this is awesome, this is amazing, this is all these things, after we've been here for 5 hours. So, I mean, a great way to bring us back after such a long taping. But you shouldn't be bringing us back, man. Just give me 4 hours maximum. What are we doing here for 6 hours? I want to go outside and hit the penny slots. I can't hit the penny slots if I'm in here watching Bakingo flip. I love watching him flip, but I want to be hitting them penny slots.
Well, Reg, when some people have to pay for their tickets, maybe they want to get their money's worth. All right.
Damn it, they're about to get me out of here.
Oh, funny shit.
Fight Forever, June 29th. Get that. It's going to be dope.
Somebody going to make you in the game?
I hope so. That'll be dope. I hope so, too. Mm. I still haven't gotten to play that game, and my friend works there. I need perks.
Oh,
I need something.
Oh, does he?
Come on. My friend works there. Send me a copy, somebody.
Did you guys know Reg's friend works at AEW?
Everybody knows.
I would like to think he's my friend, too. Damn.
Our friend works there. Send Kate a copy, too.
Buried out here.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of getting buried, but not really buried. Buried in a fun way. We get our ROH Pure Championship match with Shibata and Alex Coughlin in a match that went differently than I was anticipating, but used the Pure rules in a really, really, really fun way. It was booked winner-wise exactly how I thought it was going to go, but the story of this match with Coughlin using his 3 rope breaks so early in the process, I loved this because it just felt like Shibata was like, I've taught you better than that. For like the whole first leg of this match was Shibata with this, like, normally you see like the student rising up against the teacher and it's like a show of respect, or
right,
their youth is overcoming the veteran status. This was like, you're not there yet. And I'm mm-hmm. kind of disappointed in you. And now I'm going to kick your ass about it. Oh, I loved it. And we have not seen mm-hmm. that type of story with the Pure title in a really long time. Like mm-hmm. what Wheeler Yuta was doing with it was so different than a match that would be like someone hits three rope breaks pretty quick. And now the story of the match is navigating that and trying not to lose in that way. Mm-hmm. Also, realistically, not like Shibata can't go, my God, but he's, you know, been through a lot. His brain was taken out of his head at one point. You're probably going to be a little bit more careful. This is a really great protected story to tell that lets you choose points for emphasis. Mm-hmm. I thought this was great and was very unexpected in the story they were telling, but I really, really liked it. What were your thoughts on our Pure title match, which we got to see on ROH tonight, which was refreshing?
Wow. Thanks for us. Shout out to us. We get to see a title match on a show that has a bunch of championships that sometimes are defended. Shibata has been awesome to see all these weeks. Them telling the story with Coughlin of him kind of, I think anybody that kind of trained under Shibata in that New Japan dojo, could psych themselves out of the match before they even get there, because they've seen Shibata and, you know, they've been scared to death that this guy was gonna kick their head in during training. And
who knows your playbook better than the guy that taught
exactly,
you,
right? Like right. He knows every move that you're gonna do because he taught you all those moves, and he knows that if it's a hard place to be, because if you learn something and you didn't tell him about it, he's going to be mad because you didn't tell him about your new techniques. And if you try to bust some new techniques out on your trainer, he's going to be mad again. So there's like no way to go but down. Coughlin got destroyed here because they told the story a few weeks ago when they tagged up and he was in there and Shibata got in and tagged himself in and was like, he kind of did the Claudio and Yuta thing of like, nah, it's time for you to get out of here. It's time for me to get in here. You're embarrassing me in front of all these people. I taught you how to do this and you're doing this to your dad out here on the show. It's like, I love that angry dad on the apron thing. It's always great. Him and Claudio do it perfectly. Coughlin got his shit in though. He did his from his ass to his feet suplex spot, holding a person up. That is just an incredible feat of strength. Shibata and Lee Moriarty tomorrow. That's the only way I can really end this.
Shibata and Lee Moriarty. What a time to be a wrestling fan. Zack Sabre Jr. in action, Andretti.
What?
Willow versus Emmy. Come on. Huh? Come on.
Insane.
Embarrassment of riches on Rampage tomorrow. Again, I've earned it, okay? I've reviewed some Rampages that were like, this is going on at 4:30 p.m. and we're not going to maybe build out a ton for it. Okay.
I mean,
this one's for me. This week is for Kate. You know what I mean?
Agreed. Agreed.
I adored. Where's the comment? Where is the comment? Somebody. Man, there it is. This, Reg. Make an ROH section just for Kate. A downloadable character. You're not the only one sitting in the media section. Okay, I can be there too.
Well,
in my dreams, I guess I can be in the ROH media section.
Agreed.
It's main event time, Reg. Okay.
Yes.
We've got Athena and Kira Hogan, and a story that got set up kind of last week. I'm doubtful that in your spare time since you've come back, you've had any time to catch up on 19 matches, but. A really nice through line in what we got last week was Kira Hogan coming in, not happy with the way Athena's been running things. Probably a little reminiscent of someone that maybe she was a baddie for. Loved what we got here. Kira Hogan just brings so much intensity to everything she does. It's the absolute best. I thought this match was a whole heck of a lot of fun. Very happy to see Kira Hogan back on my TV. And also little things of Athena, like using a hammerlock suplex today, which she was more using like that Saito suplex. Her like upping her game while she's getting more vicious is really fun, of just like, I need to fight people and I need to be getting better all the time. Cause like it, mm-hmm. she's just maniacal with this title. Absolute ass kicking match. After the match, we get some shenanigans, not real shenanigans, but we get definitely not indie workers disguised as security coming down, and Kira Hogan absolutely losing it as Athena is on the floor with her title making snow angels. Felt very CM Punk to me. It warmed my heart. But Kira Hogan just going ballistic after this. Looks like we might be running this back. I'm intrigued to see where this leads. A lot of possibilities, but an incredible main event. You say it week over week. Athena is the MVP of this brand. Four Black women's wrestlers on our television tonight. We got Trinity on Impact as the Impact crew is hanging out backstage with birthday boy Joel. What did you think of our main here?
This, like we were talking about earlier about the Black women, I'm happy. It's kind of crazy that it's become so normal that two black women main evented this wrestling show. And someone was asking, I think it's the homie Shane Monster in the chat. This was the last match of the entire show. The last match that everybody saw before we went home. So you had to wait through a lot of wrestling to see the Ring of Honor women's MVP. Athena do it with Kiara Hogan. Look, regardless of that, they had a great match, and I thought they had a great angle to put over Kiara as the next contender for the Ring of Honor Women's World Championship. But it's hard. Like it's frustrating because you just want these women to have more. I want more people to be watching this match because, like I said, two Black women are main eventing this show, and they're both great, and they're both aggressive, and they're both trying to establish themselves as the best in the world. This match was awesome. I'm happy that Kiara's getting an opportunity to be the next contender for the championship. And Athena just does it again. I love that she gave Kiara so much. They brought it up on commentary. This is one of Athena's toughest fights. It wasn't an easy one for her. She didn't just dominate like she usually did. She was in a fight. They had a big brawl at the end. The brawl felt like it was going for a long time in the arena, probably because we had been there for a full work shift worth of tapings. And on this episode, it was going and going and going. So they're really trying to establish that this could be a really tough test for Athena. So I'm excited to see what they do moving forward with these two women.
I am too. We got a couple of chats to round us out before we bring on the Impact crew. Matthew Plus saying, how is Tony's ROH different than Dark Elevation? Well, if you asked me last week, I would have said in zero ways. But this week,
it's not.
This week, it's not. A lot more story coming back with the trios. A lot more story in this women's title picture. The Zack Sabre Jr. and Samoa Joe story is being built out further than this kind of one-off that we got last week into this week. It's getting there. And I think after the Collision debut, it's going to be there a little bit more fully. But Ever the Troll, Matthew Plus, also chimed in saying, I would be more inclined to pay for ROH if they traveled and performed in gyms throughout the country, sell $5 beers, and bring the atmosphere back. Yeah, I mean,
same here.
Ad nauseum, we've said, right? Like the touring episodes feel a little bit more off. Tonight's, I think, was the best of those that we've seen. But the crowd energy is undeniably way lower because they're just fatigued. They've been there a really long time. And the other thing is you're putting the most in-ring centric brand at the most fatigued part. So the things that kind of normally would break that up for you aren't really there doing it. Now there's always going to be nerds like me who see a pure title match is on the card and I will stay until 3 a.m. if I have to. But as much as I like it when Matthew Plus is wrong, I agree with him in this case. I do know that he lives in the Baltimore area too, so he's probably just a little sad that ROH up and left that area. But I am too, because that was drivable for me. But I agree, and I think we've talked about that a little bit. It does feel like we're getting back on track a little bit more now. But RH saying, starting late on the post show at the beginning, but just wanted to show some love for ROH, Righteous Reg, and Kate. Well, thank you, RH. We appreciate you.
Appreciate that, RH.
Johnny. Here's Johnny chiming in saying, best wrestler, tag team, and match so far this year. Whoo! Match for me is Danielson, MJF. In the single championship match. wrestler of the year. For me, it's probably Zack Sabre Jr. at this point. Mm-hmm. Tag team, you know, obviously it's Jeff Jarrett and
My match of the year is still Kenny and Ospreay from Wrestle Kingdom. Just I don't
extremely.
It's gonna be hard to get over that one. Wrestler of the year. I'll go with Kenny also. I like what he's doing here. He has a pretty strong going here. And tag team of the year, you know, I'm not WWE guy, but Sammy and Kevin, man, those are my guys forever. I don't care.
Yeah, that's the actual answer. Sammy and Kevin are that team. They're the best, even though their booking is a little sideways. They're the best. They're the best in the whole wide world. Shane Monster saying, hope everyone had a great weekend and had some prime grass touching time. Kira and Athena just brawling, but I hope Kira wasn't legit hurt. Yeah, there was that was a hard hitting match. And I don't know if she came out of that unscathed. I hope so. I think she's okay.
Yeah.
I would think we'd have heard by now. Right. Or, you know, we had a man on the inside. I don't know if you guys heard, but Reg was there. So
probably would have heard something if she was hurt for real.
That's right. Yeah, I think so too. We're going to bring on our Impact crew because we do have a couple of happy chats for Joel Pearl of all people, wishing him a happy birthday. We're going to get a little bit of a teaser about what happened on Impact, as well as we bring on the incredible, wonderful, I'm told, fancy crest to star today. I think.
Wow. Nah, I got lazy. I gave up. It's so hot outside. I look a mess. I was going to be real cute, but when I came home, I wanted to throw my whole body in the lake of water. It's so hot outside.
You look beautiful. Okay.
I'll take it. Thank you.
You look great. Ricardo wishes Joel a happy birthday, mon ami.
Happy birthday, Joel.
Thank you, guys.
Happy birthday. Pew, 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 pew. If I had those things, I'd shoot them off right now, but I don't have sound effects. Sorry.
That's right.
I have a soundboard on my Discord, but I feel like the moment I get in Discord, someone's going to come in and say something really inappropriate. So,
Fair enough. Mm-hmm. We have a request for me to sing happy birthday to you in my Tiffany Stratton impression, which I will do shortly. But we have the Pro Wrestling Podcast, aka CM Punk's besties, saying, I already know who's the number one contender for comeback of the year. Oh, boy. Yep. But Joel, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Joel. Happy birthday to you. Toodles. That's my
the second best gift I've received today.
Happy birthday, Joel. I hope you win money and find money.
Win money and find money.
What's better than finding $20 on the floor?
Hey, double money. I'm into it.
That's right. Just get it all. Why not?
Extra chicken nugget in your nugget box.
Nugget box.
Cressa, order from the pierogi place. It wasn't very good. It was like, we're going to chicken chips with pierogies. And I'm like, that's strange. Let's go. And I tried it and I'm like, this ain't good.
That's what I get.
It happens. Not the worst.
Not the birthday treat. You're supposed to have a good treat on your birthday. You got to get ice cream or something to counteract it.
After this, absolutely going to raid that fridge. Let's go.
Yeah.
His kid took a nap. He was a happy camper today. He'll make it right. First
2 hours of daycare. Let's go. Mm-hmm.
Before we throw over to Impact, I'm so glad Crest is here because we were talking a little bit about we had 4 awesome Black women's wrestlers on ROH today. 2 of them main eventing. Yeah, we got Trinity on Impact. Things are good right now in the world of women's wrestling, especially for Black women's wrestlers. We love to see it. What was your standouts of Impact today?
Honestly, the whole show was really good. Maybe it was just me, but I was very sports entertained.
Yes.
Even with Bully Ray at the top of the hour, because he normally works my nerves. But everything, it was a good match. The match with Trinity and Savannah Evans in particular, that was a good-looking match. Everyone's gear, hair, makeup, everyone looks so good. Even Jordynne Grace, as they took that woman's life on television. I think you need to let go, Giselle Shaw. You might have concussed her. Like, everyone looked so good. We're eating good. Unfortunately, Mercedes Moné being injured sucks. But Willow Nightingale as your new, I want to say IWGP, but I feel like that's wrong. And I don't watch New Japan. Please don't kill me.
New Japan Strong.
New Japan Strong.
Mm-hmm. New Japan Strong Champion. Mm-hmm. 10 out of 10. I always thought Willow Nightingale was amazing. I thought Athena was going to be the girl to dethrone Jade. So to hear her just being a bully in Ring of Honor brings joy to my heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but can we talk about Alex Coughlin for a second?
We can.
How great of a pure style wrestler he is, and how Jeremy and I interviewed him over on In the Weeds on Fightful Overbooked.
Shameless plug. I love
Hey.
Joel is fault. You should have heard Reg earlier. I was in Vegas with my friends and in AEW. Oh, me and Trisha Dora are best friends. I had media pass.
Hey, we don't get flued out. Who's gonna fly me and Kate out? This is malarkey.
I didn't say all that.
Support women. Okay, that's what we're saying. Fly us out there. Exactly. That's verbatim what Reg said. Word for word.
Are you coming to Toronto? Are you coming to Toronto for Forbidden Door or no?
No. See, I don't get be getting flued out. If that was true, somebody would be fluing me out.
Okay. That's fair. But y'all have gone elsewhere for pay-per-views. Have you been to Chicago? I can't remember.
No, I haven't. But I'm trying to this year for All Out. All In. All Out is what they call it. There's so many events going on.
You know. Okay, gotcha.
He's got so many media credentials sitting
He's so popular. He has to clear his schedule.
Got to get this sticker wall of one day.
Leave me alone. Speaking of, I'm very excited about Masha Slamovich and Killer Kelly and a dog collars match. That's going to be so fire.
So what's
promo was peak. I don't know how else to say it besides, I'm horny. Like, that promo, I don't know if it was a promo or a porno. Like, holy hell. I want to see it no matter what happens. I want to see it. But I don't know if that was for wrestling. I don't know.
Cresta, we sit here every week and we talk about Kinky Killer Kelly, and she's just living up to the name.
See?
Come on. I'm with it. Happy Pride.
That might be a little too many K's for me, though. I don't know. She might have to get another one. Kinky Killer Kelly. I don't know if I can stand behind that name. That's crazy.
That's a fair point.
I found it interesting that when it was when the spoilers came out, people were saying that the match was happening at Slammiversary, and I was like, how are they going to kill that much time? No, it's happening next Friday at Against All Odds, which is wild enough that they're running another special. Oh, like
no way!
They just did one like the this past weekend, didn't they?
We're gonna be back.
I'm Scott DeBoer, and it's a day of the week that has a vowel in it. We should probably do a special.
Don't do Joel's dad like that on the day of his birth.
They put your dad through a fireman table. Was he okay?
He's fine.
He's fine. He's fine.
He's got a son in NXT.
Yep.
And he's got you over here. My goodness, there's a lot. It's crazy.
Hey, man, you run one wrestling school, you don't know who you're fathering.
That's true.
Listen, Joel, when you talk to your dad next time, tell him I'm trying to get flued out to the show in White Plains. I'll come there and sit next to George Iceman and harass him the whole time.
There you go.
Absolutely get out to that show in White Plains.
Mm-hmm. I live in the city. That's far.
You can find a way.
It's not a train ride.
Come on.
Live on the Metro North.
Come on. We'll figure
Krista,
it out.
Krista, maybe we'll talk off of this, but maybe Impact in Philly? As a possible?
I am going to SmackDown in July after the Money in the Bank. So my friend got me that as a birthday gift since we talk about birthday. So I'll be there. If you see me, no, you don't. I'm kidding.
Mm-hmm. Well, we will throw it over to the Impact crew. Joe. I'm still saying Joe Gacy.
There you go. Damn, on the day of his birth.
I know.
Wow.
It's Joe Gacy's birthday today. Joel. Happy birthday, buddy. Sincerely,
happy birthday.
Thanks, y'all.
So much for this network. We appreciate you. I love our Sundays. I appreciate all of the extra stuff that you do that doesn't even fall under your umbrella here. And I just overall appreciate you being a good person. Never mind all of the extra things you go out of your way to do. Krista, you're incredible. I'm so excited to hear about Impact. And Reg, thank you for bothering to show up. I know you've got a lot of more important things going on.
I'm busy, Kate. I'm busy.
I know. We really appreciate you stopping by. What a blast of a show we've had tonight. Keep it rolling with Impact. We appreciate you guys so much for watching. Stay tuned to hear about this really great show that Impact put on.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.